Welcome to another episode of At the Table with Patrick Lencioni, where everything we talk about is related to changing the world of work so that more organizations can be more effective and less dysfunctional, and employees can be more fulfilled and less miserable. I'm your host, Pat Lencioni, joined as always by my co-host, Cody Thompson. Good afternoon, Cody.
Good afternoon, Pat.
We got Matthew, our engineer, on the computer today. Cody, what are we going to talk about?
The topic for today, the title is Only the Scrappy Survive.
That's right. Scrappy is a word I've always loved. It's one of those things that differentiates underdogs from those with seemingly unfair advantages. And as the leader of a small company, we've always valued scrappy people. People who can figure things out and make something great without having a big budget or a PhD. I think being scrappy has been important throughout history, I'm sure, Cody. But I also think that we're in a time when being scrappy has become almost a prerequisite for success because it's a key to survival. As important as organizational health is, and we do believe it's the most important untapped competitive advantage, it's hard to be a healthy organization if you're not a viable one. And many companies today, large and small and in between, are struggling to stay viable. Now, I'm really glad to hear that confidence among smaller businesses is starting to go up again. And I think that the scrappy companies are probably driving that confidence. They're finding a way, in spite of challenges that they couldn't have predicted a year ago, not only to survive, but even to thrive. The non-scrappy companies, though, unless they're part of a monopoly or a protected industry or they're so big they can't fail, are not going to survive. And that's a tragedy that affects people's jobs and livelihoods, and it's one that we would like people to avoid. So that's what we're going to talk about today, how to be scrappy, whether you're running a small to medium-sized business or managing a department within a larger one in the midst of a business and social environment like the one we're in right now.
That's right. As we thought about this podcast, we were trying to think of stories around what does this actually mean? Because I think sometimes people go, we've done a podcast on innovation in the midst of, right. of this crisis. It's not about that. Scrappiness is really this behavior. You know, it's like you've said that we've been a scrappy company. One of our favorite compliments is when people walk into our office and they see that there's 12 of us and they're like, man, I thought you guys were 40 or 50 people.
Right.
So it's that sort of behavior, the scrappiness that leads to innovation, that the scrappier companies tend to innovate and execute more than others.
Absolutely. You know, Matt here, our engineer, was the president of his fraternity, and they had a saying. What was the saying, Matt, that you always said? Figure it out. You know, they'd say to people, figure it out.
Right.
You got to figure out how to do that. And scrappy people, figure it out.
It is related in some ways to the humble, hungry, and smart model. Like there's hunger there.
If
you, scrappy is a prerequisite of that is that you have to care a lot about what you're doing, right? Because it's really about overcoming obstacles, finding a way through. In the midst of adversity, you are always going to figure it out.
That's right. And I was thinking today, I was just down in the restroom preparing for getting ready for the podcast. And I thought, what's the opposite of scrappy? What do you think the opposite would be? Complacent?
Comfortable, yeah.
You know, like, complacent, well, we'll just wait and see how it turns. Scrappy, like, makes stuff happen and figures out a workaround.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. You know, I actually gave a talk recently to a company that I think is really scrappy. It's called Best Version Media.
Yep.
And it's really cool because they were the printing industry and the media, the print media has gone down like crazy because of computers and everything else virtual. But they decided there was still a market that they were going to lean into. And that is, and they have a scrappy attitude about this. They went to small communities all over the country and said, we want to print your local magazine.
Right.
And they have a thriving business because people in local small towns still want to read about what's going on down the street.
I mean, that's my favorite magazine that I get, the one that's placed on my driveway that has contextual news for my neighborhood. You know, like that, those are great.
And the folks at Best Version Media are like, we're going to make this work because people need it and these customers want it. And we're going to find out how to swim upstream against this. And they're doing a really good job. But they have that attitude like, we're going to find a way
right.
to thrive in this environment.
So the context of this conversation are those that are scrappy, you know, the topic, only the scrappy survive. We're now faced with a social and work context where this is now required. You can't be comfortable, you know, and we've actually had clients, you know, large clients that ended up resting on their laurels. So, you know, we had one very famous retail client that when we got in there and we're talking to the executive team, it was like, they had just kind of, they were a brand name for a long time and they waited and they were like fat on the hog or high on the hog. And then when things got shaken, it was like, oh no, we have to re-embrace a way scrappier attitude around our business.
Exactly.
And now that's happening to everyone. And so as we think about it, it's not just like, hey, go out and be scrappy. It's like, you have to do that now or you will not survive.
Yeah, there's this little department store by our office that we love. And during the shutdown, they were closed down. They couldn't open. Mm-hmm. And yet they were getting destroyed by department stores like Target that were open.
Right.
And because Target sold food. And it didn't really have anything to do with medical necessity because you could go to Target and catch it. And but they went out, and the woman whose husband and her run it, I love it. They went out and got some food, some camping food, and they right. sold it with all their other apparel. And that qualified them to be
stay open
because they became an essential business.
Right.
So they said, these are kind of crazy rules. We're going to find a way to work around. And they're doing really well now.
Right. And that mentality is sort of what we're talking about, which is, two stores, there's probably two stores back to back that share a wall or that are yeah. in the same building that take a different approach to that challenge. And the scrappy one is going to succeed. And it's not about, not necessarily, there are times where it's about, you know, pushing the envelope or breaking rules if you have to, but really it's the mentality of like, I'm going to figure this out. It's the very behavior that we said that drives innovation and right. change.
And it's not about doing something illegal necessarily or certainly not prudent. Because we were very, very careful. Like when the pandemic hit, we closed everything down. We tried to be generous with our vendors and do everything right. It was a little fuzzy about whether you're supposed right. to go back to work. And we just said, we have to.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, I mean, if I'm wrong and we're not allowed to, somebody will tell us. But frankly, nobody knew.
And
we said, let's get back there and get stuff done.
I had a baby in the midst of that. And I stayed away for weeks, you know. And so it wasn't about that. But we realized that for us to do what we needed to do as a team. And we've done more in that 3 month stretch than we ever could have before. And
right.
we talked about this at the beginning of the pandemic shutdown, was we found ways to make that work for a while.
Yep.
And when it became clear that we actually had to be in the same room to drive some of these things home, we did.
And when we knew it was safe. Now, in the midst of all that, Tracy got sick mm-hmm. and it looked like it might be COVID. We shut down. We all got tested. She got tested. She didn't have it. We didn't right. have it. We came back to work. So it's not about being unwise. It's or not about not respecting people's health. It's about how do we lean into this? Because nobody's going to give us a gold star in our forehead by following the rules to the letter if we go out of business and have to lose people's jobs.
Right, exactly.
Tell us about the friends of yours that run a gym.
Yeah, this is a perfect example of scrappiness in the midst of this. So I have friends, husband and wife. They both independently own gyms and then they got married. So she had a Pilates gym and he had a CrossFit gym. And so during this time, both gyms have been closed. They're in California, is a co-owner of a gym. And the co-owner of the Pilates gym, the other founding member, wants to just play as safe as possible. We're just going to wait until they tell us it's okay and we're going to reopen. They jointly own this CrossFit gym. And in the midst of this time, this is their only income.
Right.
You know, necessity is the mother of
invention
and innovation yeah. and scrappiness.
Yeah.
So in the midst of this, at the CrossFit gym, they had to figure out a way. They rented out their equipment. They moved their daily WODs, the workout of the day, online. They mapped out areas of the parking lot, taped them off so people could come and they sanitized the equipment.
And didn't you actually join their gym?
Right. Yeah, that's the ironic thing about this whole thing. It's 5 hours away from us. But when they put the workouts online, I was like, you know what? Now I'm going to be a part of that gym. And so that scrappy mentality is just like, when obstacles come your way, you have to figure it out. Matt's fraternity, you know,
right.
find a way.
I love when I go down the street and I see a restaurant doing something really creative. I mean, right now we're in California, so people in the rest of the country are glad they don't live here because it's still pretty crazy. And there's a rule, the law currently in California is, you're supposed to wear your mask in a restaurant and then pull it down, take a bite, put it back on when you chew.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no restaurant is obeying that law.
Well, you can't. Who would go out and eat if that were
exactly? And so
enforced.
So sometimes the letter of the law is silly and you have to say, what am I going to do here?
Mm-hmm.
Now, and this requires great discernment and judgment and responsibility and prudence, but I love to see businesses like pushing the envelope a little bit in terms of how they respond to this, because I really feel for them wanting to keep their business viable and employ the people they employ and serve their customers.
Absolutely.
And scrappiness is often the difference between compliant complacency and thriving and surviving.
And the thing is there are probably people who don't understand the nuance there, that think that that's careless and that they're not caring for the public health or whatever.
Oh, no,
that's not at all.
That's not what we're talking about at all.
It's that when you're faced with challenges, a behaviorally scrappy company is just going to figure it out. The department store over here, which is I love that story because it's like, hey, we now sell camping food. So we're open and we went there with masks on and bought stuff because we want to support them. And so in the midst of all of this, it's like the real message, the business application is this will actually serve you well in this time because it'll make you survive. But in the long run, businesses who embrace scrappiness, and you know, we had said something before the podcast about the idea of scrappy. I think people like to think of it as, oh, that's only possible at small companies. You know, companies that have fewer people where they're not policy driven. There are large companies at scale that are scrappy at scale.
Yeah.
And it's important that we don't think of it as, oh, only startup companies can do this. This is your own team, your own department, even in the midst of a behemoth company.
You know, it's funny that I knew of a guy who ran, and this was before COVID, a guy who ran a fast food restaurant for a chain, mm-hmm. and he had graffiti on his building. But there was these bureaucratic protocols that said you couldn't hire your own painter.
Right.
You know, because they're like, oh, there's approved of vendors, and you have to call a headquarters, and they have to schedule a vendor to come out and do this. They had all these rules. And they weren't going to come out and fix it for weeks. And he just said, screw it. I'm going to go hire a painter to paint over it. And then he was talking to one of the executives that ran the company. And the guy said, you made a great decision.
Right.
I'd have done the same thing.
Totally.
Yet there were these levels of bureaucracy and protocol in between that said, you're not supposed to do this. But it's like, we're supposed to use our common sense and our judgment. And they even rewarded him for breaking their own rules. So We're not talking about violating the law and putting people at danger. We're talking about having the judgment to look at something and say, I would rather risk a rebuke from someone than following the rule and going out of business.
Yeah. And I think you said it perfectly. Like, no one at the end of this is going to get a gold star on their company for how well they followed the protocol, because some of those businesses are going to close.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that we're passionate about this, Pat, is like, we care about small businesses, medium size. We care that people have jobs that are fulfilled, you know, that they're fulfilled at work and that they love what they do. And a lot of that is in jeopardy. And so the message is, we have to figure out a way.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny. We did a lot of podcasts in the beginning of the COVID. And like I said, we shut down hard. We were very careful and we believed in that, and you should do it for others and you got to be careful. Here we are in like month 8 of this. And you know, a lot of good things have happened in terms of preventing things and understanding where the real risks are. But I was on an airplane this weekend. You and I were both on an airplane. We were traveling personally to the same city. So we sat by each other. And so we were in a metal tube for 2 hours sitting very close to people. And we're allowed to do that. And mm-hmm. we weren't traveling for anything critical. And then I watched these NFL games where they don't let people into a stadium sitting outdoors 20 feet apart from each other. And I just think, and some teams are letting fans come, but they're being very safe. And some are like, nope, no fans at all. And I just think, so where is the logic in that? Now, if you're an NFL team, you're part of a monopoly, so you're not going to go out of business. But if you're in a competitive industry, taking the super cautious, even illogical stand could really cost you.
Right.
And when I look at, there's a sport out there that's thriving right now, and it's probably controversial. It's really violent. It's called MMA, mixed martial arts. Half of me thinks it's so violent, it's crazy. The other half is kind of fascinated because a lot of these guys and gals are super hard workers. And after they beat the crap out of each other, they like pat each other on the back and give each other a hug. Right. So there's something fascinating, even though it's, you know, it's an interesting sport though, I have to say, and it's growing. They went out and they said, during the COVID thing, we're going to go. They went and got an island in the Middle East. They fly people there to train before their bouts. And then they show live fights. And they're fighting
at
6 in the morning in the Middle East.
Wow.
So people in America can watch at night. And the sport is growing because they said, let's be scrappy and find a way to safely let these events go on. And they have a huge following now.
Well, I'm going to go on record and say, maybe we should get an island. And small businesses. No, I'm just kidding.
I thought you were going to say we should go into mixed martial arts.
No, that would be horrible. We'd both be like, nah, let's just go.
Yeah, I don't think
let's just go hang out and have a good conversation. But it is interesting, as we talked about this, you're totally right. As we tried to parse out what this was, it wasn't about innovation.
Nope.
It's not really about opportunity in the midst of this, because we've talked about that before. Like, there is an opportunity to pivot. There are things that we've done at the company where we had to leverage our resources better. Those are all downstream symptoms of being scrappy.
Yes. You know? Find a way. Mm-hmm. Find a way to do what's right and to honor the most important things, but to get around certain things that stand in your way that you know are maybe just bureaucracy or protocol, but you owe it to your customers and to your employees to safely keep them employed.
Totally.
Now, you know, there's something else that's going on. And before the podcast, Matt said, hey, you know, we did a podcast during the middle of COVID and said that you can actually have a virtual team.
Right.
And you can.
And we were doing well at the, you know, we liked it.
Exactly. But I have to say, I've talked to a lot of people who have been virtual now for 7 months. Mm-hmm. And I've never heard people talk about their exhaustion quite like they do. And we're back at work now. I go home tired, but I remember those days when it was 8 hours in the house. And I think that we might be pushing up against the limits of no human contact with people in the office. There's a reason to have an office. And I love that we're going to be more flexible in the future. But I do think companies need to ask themselves, what is going to be the cost to having people doing everything at home? And we heard a great story today. Someone in our office, her sister-in-law works at a company that does call center work. And usually they have people come into the office and they have people now working from home and they've studied it. They've measured it. Because call centers, you can study, and their productivity has gone down by 30%.
Right.
And they actually found out that people were on the phone. They were having to wait longer to talk to operators and customer service people. And they tracked why. And like they tracked this one person, and they were doing a lot of online shopping instead of talking to their customers.
Yeah, it was the story that they could actually see what was happening on the person's screen. And someone, an elderly woman who had a semi-emergency, was like, wrote the company and said, hey, I think I waited a little long. Like this was, I needed some help more quickly. And they went back and traced it to the screen of the person helping them. And they were like, put her on hold and checked out their shoe order before they actually helped. And you know that that is one example, but how many people are doing that? Put it this way. If that company can track productivity down 30%, if that's happening across the board, we actually have a work problem
as a
nation and as a GD, like our GDP.
Exactly. Right? And in those certain industries where you can't go back, I get that. But there's that fuzzy area in between. And I think we need to be pushing on the envelope a little bit, not when it's safety involved, but when it's a matter of let's try to move forward. We've seen it work for us. We've seen other companies that have done that. And now there's some though that have actually been very scrappy by closing their office down completely because they said we're wasting money on rent and we really can work remotely. And so they were scrappy by saying, let's cut a bunch of our overhead. That's going to allow us to survive. I salute them too.
Right. Yeah. Because it's not about, you know, let's figure out a way to get back in person. It's just it's about behaviorally being scrappy and innovating in this time. And we are aware of the fact that a lot of people that listen to this podcast probably work at big companies, right? Where they're in middle management or one of the frontline employees and can't make decisions around that or think like, man, I wish we could be scrappier, but policy is sort of preventing us from doing this. Do whatever is under your control, right?
Yeah, be scrappy within your area to do something different, to find a way.
Mm-hmm. And it does go back to this circle of influence, circle of concern. I think we've mentioned this on a podcast before, and this is from Stephen Covey, right? That there are certainly things that are outside of our control, a lot of them, right?
And you got to just...
You have to say, okay, well, I can't do anything about that. But I think, but the circle of influence, the smaller one that's in the middle, if you focus on what you can control in the midst of this, that you can be scrappy and actually crafty and cunning and wise and strategic,
exactly,
then that circle of influence starts to grow.
You know, Matt's twin brother, started a new job yesterday. And his boss said, let's meet in the city. Mm-hmm. And he's going to work 2 days a week in the office. And they go to lunch and there's nobody around hardly. But he said, we're going to do it anyway because I want you to onboard fast.
Right.
Because it takes like Matt, we were talking today, it takes like people a month to onboard if you're never there.
Yeah.
And so I think Connor really appreciated the fact that his boss said, no, let's go get together.
This is important.
And we can all do that.
Yep.
We can all do that being wise, but I think it can make a big difference. You know, it's funny. He came home after his first day and he said, man, work kind of sucks.
Did he really?
Yeah. He had IT on the phone the whole time and he was filling out forms and it was like a very bureaucratic day. And
well, was after working with us for a couple months here where we have very little bureaucracy. So.
Exactly. Exactly. So anyway, our goal here is to encourage people out there to find ways to get through this that makes you better, that protects your business, your employees, your customers. And that might mean pushing the envelope and skirting around some things. Compliance and complacency is not the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Prudence, responsibility, and scrappiness is probably what's going to differentiate you. And a year from now, you'll look back and you'll say, man, that, I think that really set us apart.
Absolutely. We'll give out gold stars for those. We'd love to hear stories too.
Yeah. 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 Send us stories about being scrappy. Also, we want you to put something on your calendar. And that is, we have two announcements real right now. Put you on your calendar. October 30th is our big launch of the 6 types of working genius.
That's right.
So we're going to be doing a podcast that day.
No, not a podcast. You're doing a live speech.
That's what
we want to invite people to. So if you've heard Pat speak before, great. And when, this is a brand new model. This is the thing we were talking about on the last podcast. If you've never heard him speak, this is the perfect opportunity to see him tease out this new model that we've been using, the 6 types of working genius.
Which came about in June in the middle of all this when we first came back to work.
And it more than anything is, it's so in line with what we talk about on this podcast because it's about personal fulfillment in what you're doing. It's part personality assessment and knowing what your natural gifts are and part productivity tool for teams to understand how to utilize the talents that they have. So,
and we really think this is the most important thing we've ever done.
Yep.
So we're very excited.
And there will be a registration link in the podcast notes. So if you're on Apple, you can find it just at the bottom of the description in the podcast, or go to our website under the podcast banner. It'll be in there as well.
You know, I want to also do a commercial. I can't believe it's been over a year. Our bumper music is Matt Maher.
Oh yeah.
A friend of mine, great musician, Matt, M-A-H-E-R. And whenever I listen to his music, I was listening on the way to work today. I thought, I've never really announced that.
Yeah.
So Matt Maher is our bumper music musician. He's a fantastic guy. Check out his music. I think you'll love it.
Awesome.
All right. Thanks for joining us here on At the Table, and we will talk to you next time. God bless.